If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where today we're joined by Lucas Nuruaka, who next year will become one of a handful of young British riders to graduate to the UCI World Tour when he moves from the Trinity Racing Development Team to EF Education Easy Post. Lucas, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Did I get the pronunciation right?
Yeah, you got it spot on. Some of the best I've heard.
Well, it's all downhill from here, but that's good to know. Well, look, congratulations on getting this place with EF Education Easy Post. You must be delighted.
Yeah, really excited. It's come about quite quickly since the start of the year, but now I'm looking forward to joining them.
Did you know anybody on the team in advance? There's quite a few English speakers. Charlie Vergelius, of course, an English DS. How did the connection come about?
Yeah, well, it's an English speaking team, and I'm currently living with Ben Healy. So, I've been living with him for about a year now. That helped. So then, just living in Girona as well, you meet lots of different riders. A few of them are also joining EF, like Archie Ryan and Rafferty. So, yeah, there's a good group of us out here now.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's success, that must be pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing watching him at the races do what he does.
Well, look, you're no stranger to elite sport. Your dad was an Olympic standard marathon runner, ran at two games. How was that growing up in a household where elite sport was the norm?
I think I've always been exposed to sport. It's always been something my whole family's done. It's never really been something that's like been forced upon us. It's just both me and my sister, we've always done lots of sport, without running, swimming, cycling, gymnastics, all of that. So yeah, it's always been part of my life. And then it's only really when I moved back to the UK that I started getting more serious with my cycling, like joining my local club and doing some racing. And yeah, it was around that time as well I decided to focus more on cycling than doing running and other sports as well.
And you moved back to the UK from Ethiopia, from Addis Ababa.
Yeah, exactly. I spent the first 7 years of my life there.
And how quickly did you find the bike or find a competitive outlet for cycling when you were in the UK? You grew up, I understand, really at sort of Preston Park.
Yeah, Preston Park. And it was really great there. We had, it helped me massively. We had five other guys all my age who I used to spend loads and loads of time with. And yeah, we went up to all the races together. The parents would chairlifts, make it a bit more bearable for them. And yeah, just it meant that cycling wasn't so much, there wasn't any pressure involved. It was basically just hanging out with your friends for the weekend or during the week as well. So I think that helped my development a lot and just made it something fun rather than anything too serious.
And was it mainly a track-based program, Lucas, or were you on the road from an early stage as well?
Yeah, I was doing both really. I think especially with GB, the track is pretty heavily promoted. So yeah, I was doing quite a bit of that, but then on the road is really what I enjoy the most. So I think, yeah, we did, even in under 12, we had road nationals. They've stopped now, but I remember doing some national series like around Scarborough and stuff like that. Then under 14, under 16, just carried on doing it. I mean, I didn't have much success. Yeah, I think at that age, it's just a lot about how you develop more than anything. So I wasn't particularly good then, but again, it helped having those friends there. So it didn't matter too much what results you were getting. You were just having fun.
And how about when it did start to click, when you started to get results at that stage? Was your father's background as an elite athlete, did that come in useful or given the very different nature of the disciplines, was it of not much value?
Yeah, well, it all started to come a bit more together as a junior. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how much my dad's background has helped me. I think it's probably helped me a bit more just in terms of, yeah, his way of approaching things. And I can even see that now. He's, even though he's not competing, he still carries the same mindset in what he does now. Yeah, so that's helped me. And I've always enjoyed the process of like training, which I think helps a lot. And it's different in cycling. You have a lot more race days. Whereas, yeah, when my dad was competing in marathons, you do two marathons a year and then a handful of small road races leading up to it. Whereas in cycling, you're racing quite a bit from February to October. So it's a different outlook on it. But I think just enjoying the process and enjoying the training behind it is a really important part of both sports.
And cycling, I guess, would be a lot more data driven.
Running is slowly catching up with, yeah, some things. I'm seeing, especially like the Norwegians doing the lactate collection and stuff like this. But yeah, cycling is definitely a fair bit more ahead with all the data collection, with power, with lactic as well, and all of this.
You ran competitively as well, I think, in the UK while you were at school.
Yeah, I ran with a cross-country team and the track team. That was more just off my cycling fitness. I never did too much, running, training, but I just really enjoyed it. It's pretty fun to run. I think when I was, maybe from the ages of like 12 to 15, 16, I could get away with not doing much running and just using my cycling fitness. And that's when I, was doing the best. But then when I got a bit older, then it's, harder to compete with the top guys, the top runners when you're only doing cycling. So that's sort of when I stopped competing in the running.
And did those two pathways sort of intersect, if you know what I mean? As your results in running diminished, was that because things had started to click on the bike and you were naturally spending more time on the bike?
Yeah, slightly. At one point, I was probably more successful at running than I was in cycling in terms of just purely results. Because I wasn't, in under 14, I probably didn't top 10 many races at all, but I could still, win a cross country or something. But then, in under 16, especially the second year, I developed a bit by that point. So I was getting a bit more success then. And that's when I sort of stopped running as well. Because, it was both results and then just enjoyment as well. I was just loving spending time on the bike.
What is it about time on the bike? Is it the freedom? Is it the distance? But what really appeals to you about that?
Yeah, I think it's something about the distance, the speed. Obviously, you can go a lot further on a bike than you can running. And then I think it's also the fact there's lots of different elements to riding, and especially racing. It's not running comparatively is a fairly simple sport. With tactics, with tech, with everything like this, and cycling, there's so much to invest in and focus on, which appeals to me.
I spoke last year to Oscar Onley, who was also a runner before he became a cyclist, and just fell in love with the bike and the freedom aspect, and found that when he should have been training for running, he was naturally out on the bike, just out of preference. Is it a similar story for you, or a different process?
Yeah. Probably pretty similar. I never got to the stage where there was like pressure or expectation for me to train running. I did a few training sessions at school, and when I was a lot younger, like 12, 13, I'd sometimes go down to the local track to run with my sister. But yeah, it's never been something I've really enjoyed. I think it also slightly comes down to the fact that I had lots of friends cycling, like a group of five of us, and I just didn't find that when I was running, so that played a factor as well.
Tell me about VC Londres, because, the Hayter brothers, Fred Wright, Tom Gloag, a lot of talented riders coming out of that club at the moment. How did you cross paths with those riders? How did you become connected to the club?
Yeah, so when I was coming out of under 16 and going into juniors, that's when I was sort of deciding what club to join next. And even though I'm not from London, I'd raced guys from VCL all the time, and yeah, I'd made some good friends there as well. So I had, yeah, quite a few friends in London my age. So yeah, I went on a few club runs up there on the Saturday, just loved it. So yeah, I joined VCL, and then I missed Haters and Fred Wright, but then when I first started going on a club run, there's still a lot of guys, Jacob Vaughan, Tom Logue, Isaac Monday, all these guys for me to ride with and learn from. So I did, yeah, like 2 winters of doing, yeah, I'd get the train up in the morning, do the club run, and then get the train home or stay at friends, either one.
And what's the spirit, the vibe in the club at the moment? Is there a sort of conscious awareness that they're routinely producing world-class riders, or is it still a very relaxed atmosphere?
Yeah, I think it's still a really very relaxed atmosphere. I'm maybe not the most qualified person to speak on it. I'm not massively involved in the club anymore. But just from what I can see and what I've heard when I've spoken to the guys who still go along, it's still, yeah, just the same relaxed atmosphere, but still producing lots of strong young riders.
We spoke earlier, actually, before we began the recording, about, you know, the success that you enjoyed as a junior on the British scene. 4th overall, I think, at the Junior Tour of Wales. Won a stage, I think, at the Junior Tour of Yorkshire. How instrumental was the club in achieving those results? Or was it simply a sort of vehicle, you know, a team with which to travel?
No, it was, yeah, really important. I think more so than just that I was spending lots of time with guys who had done those races, you know, a couple of years older than me. And, yeah, training with them gave me the confidence, even before I'd raced in the junior races, I could, yeah, compete with the best in those races. And then also the team had a really good connection with a Spanish team, Fundación Lingshu. So I spent the summer of 2020 out in Spain, where, you know, in the UK, there was no racing going on because of COVID. But in Spain, I was able to do, yeah, quite a few race days in the Basque with this team. And that's where, yeah, I started performing, and that style of racing I really enjoyed. It was pretty different to the UK stuff, especially the UK stuff I'd done before in under 16. So yeah, that was the first real stepping stone, I guess.
And for a rider of your characteristics, Lucas, was that a sort of, you know, sliding doors moment? You found yourself on mountains in the Basque Country and suddenly things made sense? Was it crystal?
I think that was definitely part of it. The terrain suited me a lot better, because I'd come from the previous year under 16 races where the majority of it is on circuits, which is, yeah, good to learn racing on, but it's a very, very different style of racing to racing on, yeah, bigger climbs in the Basque. So yeah, when I was racing that, that's what I really enjoyed. And yeah, it's a really strong field out in the Basque. I think probably pretty similar to the UK actually. But the different style of racing suited me more, so I could get more results there than I would in the UK.
I spoke last year to Harrison Wood, who was on a team called HMT, which sadly is sort of no longer with us, but pretty much his third ever race was the Junior Tour of the Basque Country. And yes, he said, you know, it was a sort of light bulb moment, really, that, you know, suddenly racing in that environment, in that style, it was immediately apparent that that's what he should be doing. I guess he had a similar experience.
Yeah, exactly. It was the same. I'd never won don't think I'd won a race, especially or in under 16, under 14 before that time. And then when I was racing in Basque, I was getting a few podiums and then ended up with a win as well. So that was, yeah, first for me. And that's when I knew sort of to take it a bit more seriously, get a coach. And I mean, I was still doing all my schoolwork and stuff, but that's when I was like, yeah, that's when I knew to focus on cycling.
That's interesting. Thank you. I mean, were you also aware of the quality of opposition back in the UK scene? If you look at the top 10 in that 2021 Junior Tour of Wales, I mean, there are some really high quality riders that, you know, some of whom are already racing at World Tour level. Were you conscious that this was a sort of golden generation, or, you know, were you simply kids racing against each other?
Yeah, I think we were just kids racing against each other. You can kind of see that from the last few age groups, maybe 3 or 4 guys would go World Tour. You could see that, and there's some really, really strong years. So I mean, in the back of your head, you had that, but then, yeah, mostly it was just racing and trying to win them.
Did you consciously think about a professional career? What stage did that seem possible?
Yeah, I didn't really think about it turning into a profession until the guys who were a couple of years older than me started getting contracts. So when I was junior, the aim was to get on a team like Trinity. And then beyond that, I didn't really know. I just knew I wanted to get onto a team like that. And then once I was on Trinity, then I could see the guys who are a couple years older than me getting contracts. And then that's when I started to think, oh, that's something I'd really like to aim for. And it was, yeah, the time when I joined Trinity where that's also when the decision was made whether to go to uni or not. And yeah, a few guys just older than me had just signed. And then, yeah, so that's when I decided not to pursue uni and all that and do cycling instead.
Was that a big decision or was it a no-brainer?
To be honest, quite a big decision. I really enjoyed school and especially A-levels. And yeah, it was probably actually a blessing in disguise that I didn't get into Oxford. Otherwise, it would have been made a really hard decision. But I didn't get into Oxford. So I was like, well, if I'm not good enough to go there, I'll try my best to cycling instead.
What were your subjects? What did you study at A-level?
Physics, maths, further maths and biology.
Yikes. Okay, so you're kind of hardwired to data.
Yeah. I love, biology was the weakest of all, and that's, I guess, the least data-driven and least sort of logic-based. Whereas, yeah, further maths and physics are my favourite subjects, and those are, you know, really, yeah, just logical, not too much recall in them, just sort of you get it or you don't get it, which I really like.
Tell me how important Trinity Racing has been for you. It's a little more than a team, isn't it? It's almost a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's been huge in my development. I think when I joined Trinity Racing, I was didn't really know anything about bike racing, I'd say. I had been strong as a junior, but I didn't know anything involved in being a bike racer, just being full time and stuff like this. So that was probably the biggest learning experience, not just on the bike but off the bike. And yeah, that's where having guys around me who sort of knew more what they were doing helped a lot. And then, yeah, of course, we have great DSs last year. We had Stannard this year. We got Pete and John. So having those guys who have sort of done it and know what it's about has been huge.
And how about all the rest of that goes with it? You're in Girona now. Are you effectively leading the life of a professional rider already?
Yeah, exactly. So since I finished A-levels halfway through last year, I've been full-time cycling, and that's been a big change. It's gone from being really busy my day to sort of the opposite most of the time, when you've got training, but apart from that you haven't got that much else to do. But yeah, it hasn't been too hard to adjust yet. I've got lots of other things to keep me occupied.
Did you consider other pathways? You know, it's funny, 20, 30 years ago, you could count on the fingers of one hand the number of British riders who had turned professional and were racing in Europe. Then there was the sort of British Cycling Academy revolution about 12 years ago that produced Cavendish and Thomas. And now the number of pathways is completely proliferated. I guess, you know, the Rainer Foundation might have been an option for you. The Academy might have been an option for you. The World Tour Development Team might have been an option. I mean, tell me if I've got this wrong, was it sort of Trinity or bust, or did you have other options on the table?
Yeah, there were a couple other options, but I never was involved with like the GB system at all, like even under 16 junior. I was never on any of that. I never did well at the track, and yeah, even on the road until junior, I didn't do particularly well. And then there were a few other teams. I never really considered staying within the UK. I think, yeah, you can see from the riders turning World Tour, it's a lot harder to turn World Tour if you stay in the UK than if you, yeah, move, well, not necessarily move abroad, but go to a team that is abroad. But then, yeah, with Trinity and different World Tour Devo teams, it's yeah, it was a bit of a decision, but at the end of the day, Trinity had, you get all the freedom and you get all the expertise, I guess, of the World Tour teams, or a lot of it at least, with yeah, Pete and John and Stannard and guys like that. But you do get the freedom, and I think, yeah, just the fact that it was English speaking, it's been really nice. We're all, yeah, all the same age. We all get on really well. So at races, it's, I'd say we have some of the best morale going. So yeah, that helps a lot.
Have you picked up any Spanish in your time in Girona?
Not much. Enough to order a coffee or get into the supermarket. But yeah, probably need to start doing some lessons.
You've got the essentials.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just about.
You mentioned, you know, it seems harder to become a World Tour rider from the UK. And I don't think many people would disagree with that. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think recently the racing in the UK has lost some of its prestige. So, I mean, the British teams naturally race a lot of British races. But if the races don't hold the same amount of, yeah, prestige and respect as other races, then like the World Tour teams or Pro Conti teams aren't really going to have a look in and see, you know, you can win every round of a national series, but that might, you know, it means basically nothing to the World Tour teams. Whereas if you go abroad and you can do, you know, you could win one stage of L'Avenir or stage of the Baby Giro or something like that, and immediately you're getting looked at by World Tour teams.
And how does the racing compare? You were at the Beaumont Trophy. Is it comparable to the racing on the continent?
Yeah, it's very different. The Beaumont Trophy, I think, is the first national I've done. And yeah, pretty excited to see what it was about. And yeah, for sure, it's really different, actually. Well, just from previous rounds, I'd seen basically like what was happening in the race is decided really early on. So that's what me and Max tried to do. Didn't work out in the end, but there's not the strength in the depth in the teams to control races in the same way in Europe, whereas St. Piran have all the strongest riders, really. So if they get, you know, five guys up the road, it's a done deal. The teams behind don't have the strength and depth or coordination to get a chase together. Whereas in Europe, there's even at the highest level, at World Tour level, it's really apparent that, you know, there's barely any breakaway that stay away from the gun. But even at under 23 level, there's enough control within the teams that is raced in a more controlled manner a lot of the time. There's still a fair bit of chaos, just it being under 23. Normally the team sizes are a bit smaller. So yeah, the races are quite a bit more open, but it's nowhere near like what it is in the UK.
You must be one of the only riders ever, Lucas, I would imagine, that had ridden the Tour of Britain before he'd ridden a round of the National Road Series.
Yeah, actually. That was a good experience last year. And I think you can sort of see why the UK races are races the same way, because the roads and stuff do like reward that aggressive style of racing, and it's pretty hard to get a chase together on those British roads, whereas a lot of the roads on the continent aren't as like wearing down, aren't as twisty and technical. So I guess that does play a role, but I think by far the biggest thing is the strength and depth of the teams and the coordination.
And is it, I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this, I mean, does it sort of sadden you in a way, really, that, you know, you couldn't develop to a professional standard in your own country? Or, you know, is that simply not part of the thought process? You want to become a professional cyclist and you'll go wherever you need to achieve that goal?
Yeah, I think for me, it's sort of become normalized. There's everyone else around me has gone to the continent. So I've gone to the continent and I really don't mind it. I don't mind living away from home. Yeah, in some ways it is a shame, because the number of, well, British World Tour riders there are is so high considering like the lack of UK racing, which, yeah, like all the other countries that have, you know, the most World Tour pros, like France, Belgium, Spain, Italy, they've all got a thriving domestic scene, whereas the UK is is lacking.
It's strange, isn't it? It's difficult to account for that there's just a seemingly endless stream of world-class talent. Clearly yourself, Jack, who one of the few, I think, who will have come up from directly from the domestic scene.
Yeah.
But the vast majority these days, Oscar Onley, Sam Watson, you know, lots of riders with FDJ or with DSM or whatever it might be, are coming up through World Tour Devo teams or squads like Trinity Racing. Just to sort of expand on the style of under 23 racing in Europe, how close is that to the World Tour?
Well, I haven't done any World Tour races, but I've from the races I have done with, yeah, the stronger fields like at Camino and Chector, it is quite different. I think, especially being at Trinity Racing at under 23 level, Trinity is one of the most respected teams, and it's down to us and a few other teams to control the race. Whereas, when we do go to the pro level races, it's sort of the opposite, where we're not expected to control the race, and it's just up to us to get the stage results, which we've been pretty good at doing with Luke, and especially in the sprints. Yeah, we've got quite a good lead out for an under 23 team, and then on the mountain days, we're pretty well coordinated. And I think that's another thing that's been helped massively by having the DSs that we do, is that they know how the pro racing works inside out. So they can be telling us in the radio and before and after the race what to expect and how we should race it.
And how much of a confidence boost is it to get a result at a race like Gran Camino? You stood on the podium with Jonas Vingegaard, you in your white jersey, him in the leader's jersey. I mean, what does that do for your self-belief?
Yeah, it was pretty huge. It was the first time since turning under 23 that I'd got any sort of result. Yeah, I think last year I'd basically done nothing. Going into Camino, I mean, I knew the shape was good, but then to get some results, really helped. And not just for that race, but then going into races later on, just gives you the confidence to go for the win. Even though, I got a knee injury in, I think, at the end of March. So then, missed quite a bit of racing. But even when I did come back, then it's, straight back to normal, straight back to trying to fight for the win.
Great. And you had a very big win at the Baby Giro. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was really, really nice. It'd come, the previous day had been pretty disappointing. That day I actually wasn't expecting that much. But then, as bike racing goes, we just do the same process. And then, got into a move about 40K out. And then, played it well to the finish and managed to win the sprint, which, it was really, really nice. Really nice comeback. And we got a win on the second day with Luke, and then to win again with myself was really special.
I think the disappointing day that you suffered was on the Stelvio.
Yeah.
Not a bad arena, or perhaps a terrible arena if you're not feeling good.
Yeah. I think the way I was feeling, I was feeling every K on that climb. But that happens when you're on the bike, and all part of the process.
What did you learn about yourself that day, or perhaps what did you learn about yourself the following day where you could immediately bounce back and win?
Yeah, I think both days were huge learning opportunities in that own respect. Did a few things wrong on the Stelvio, on the day, but then, also, I think, sort of discovering what kind of rider I am, I still don't know. But that was one day where I didn't do so well, and then the following day in a breakaway, as a junior, I'd won from the break, but then as under 23, I'd never really gone for a breakaway. So learning how to do that and pulling it off, that was also really good learning.
And in terms of the type of rider that you might become, at the moment, I think, you're a climber, but also a puncher. You can get the job done from a reduced group in a sprint. Would that be accurate? Is that kind of how you see yourself developing at the moment?
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Yeah. Again, in the next few years that could all change again, but just from the racing I've done this year, that's what I feel like in the punch and in the small sprints I'm pretty competitive, so I just see next year.
And in terms of general classification, is that more of a mental thing than a physical thing? Is it both?
Yeah, I think it's both. It's, yeah, running for GC from the races I've done, haven't done many. Yeah, I mean, every day counts and every day you have to be focused. And that side of it, I do actually really enjoy. Like, it gives every day a purpose. Well, even if I'm not running for GC, I enjoy doing stuff on the days that don't really suit me. Like on the sprint days, I enjoy going for a lead out and stuff like this. But then, yeah, the GC, yeah, I think it is about on your bad days, trying to not lose your head and just get the best result regardless, and then capitalizing on your good days.
And does that appeal to the sort of logical, analytical side of you?
I guess it is one of the most logical disciplines in the sport. Within, I mean, yeah, you do see guys riding off emotion, but then at the very top, but then I feel like the guys who are getting, say, the top 10s in the tour, that's like a very logical process, engaging your effort, because, you know, the guys who are getting between 5th and 10th of the tour, you know, you can't follow the top guys, and it's just about doing your own effort best you can day after day.
And it's interesting, you know, with the ever more youthful trend in the peloton, you of course are 19 going on 20. We're also seeing riders like Juan Ayuso, aren't we? Sort of, or Kian Nuddebrooks, very young guys finishing top 10 at the end of the World Cup.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Is that inspiring?
Yeah, it's inspiring, slightly daunting sometimes. Yeah, you just have to see everyone's like doing their own thing. Like, everyone has different rates of development, and yeah, you have to realize that there'll be, yeah, guys will get to the top at different ages.
I think your next race is the under 23 Lombardia.
Yeah, that's this Sunday. Really, really looking forward to it. I think I'm really interested to do that. I think I missed, like the Ardennes races at the start of the year because of the knee. I mean, this isn't quite Ardennes, but it's a similar, well, I'm guessing it'll be a similar sort of mix of riders in that front few groups and similar style of racing. So yeah, I really look forward to it.
Fantastic. And then finally, when will you hook up with EF? Is there a end of season training camp booked?
Yeah, I haven't actually heard any details about that, but I think, yes, maybe sometime before Christmas.
Brilliant. Well, Lucas, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. We've covered a whole lot of ground there. Very best of luck going forward.
Yeah, thank you very much.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.